You are listening to the Temple Bible Church Sermon Podcast. Learn how you can be a part of the ministry of TBC by visiting templebiblechurch.org.
All right, once again, I want to welcome you guys to TBC. Whether you're watching online or you're here in person, we're thankful that you're here. And just thinking about our relationship with TISD and what's going on right now, I just want to encourage you to be involved. We just had our food drive. We had so much food given that I was able to fill the entire bed of my truck and bring it over to Helping Hands, all the extra food, plus helping over these over 45 families. And then also, Christmas gift drive is coming up. So on your app, on the app for TBC or on the website, on the hub, you can find ways to give. We have over 150 kids that we're providing gifts for, so we need help there. You can scan the QR code in the lobby as well. But you can also volunteer to be a table host, where we're going to have a big party, a big Christmas party down at Creekside, and we're going to need a table host that will sit with families at each table and interact with them and hang out with them that day and play with the kids. And we also need people to work in the kitchen and help provide food. So we need lots of different help there. So if you go and check it out, there's really a part for everyone to play in that great day, December 15th, coming up soon. So we're excited about that. So our topic today is to give thanks. And obviously, this time of year, it's important for us to think about, but we also think about maybe a challenge from God's Word to really think about what does it even mean to have a thankful attitude and heart and actions. And so it's important to point out that gratitude and thanksgiving are different. Gratitude is actually an emotion, it's a feeling. So the idea of gratitude is something that stirs within your soul, maybe it's something in your brain. You know that you need to be grateful. The mental state of being grateful is gratitude. It's a regular attitude of gratitude that actually permeates even what goes on in your physical life, in your mental life, in your spiritual life, where an attitude of gratitude has been proven through studies to actually change your body, to change your physical body, to change your mental state as well, and of course, your spiritual state. But it's not enough for us to just have an attitude of gratitude, because that would be stopping short of what God wants for us, which is instead to progress into thanksgiving, which thanksgiving is an action. It's an action of giving thanks to someone, but it's also a public declaration of what we just did, a gratitude for the good things God has done. So it's important for us to understand what this is about. And today we're going to look at three different questions pertaining to giving thanks. The first one is, why are we called to be thankful? Now, of course, we could be here all month talking about ways and reasons why we should be thankful, but today, fortunately for you, it'll only be three of them. First of all, we're called to be thankful because we're naturally unthankful. I wish this were different, right? I wish we naturally were just gravitated toward Thanksgiving, and that's just how we were. But the reality is, many of us, including myself at times, I can just dwell on other things that cause me to be unthankful. The trials of life that bring us down, the difficulties, the financial struggles, the struggles with family, the struggles with friends, it all kind of drags us down. So naturally, in our sinful nature, we have an unthankful attitude. As a matter of fact, the last time I was on this stage speaking, we actually addressed this, Paul's list of godlessness in the last days. This is what he says. He lists an unthankful, ungrateful spirit as a sign of the last days to come. In 2 Timothy 3:2, it says, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, and unholy. An unthankful attitude is equivalent to unholiness. Do you see that? This isn't just like, oh, well, I should be more thankful. No, this is a spiritual problem. This is an issue of the heart, and it needs to be addressed. We also are called to be thankful because God is so good. Now, last hour it was silent too, and I don't think it should be silent after that statement.
Amen.
Thank you, sir. Let's try that again. We should also be thankful because God is so good.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you, thank you. We have to think about, like, we're so numb to these things sometimes, and that statement that God is so good, we're just numb to it. Yeah, he's good. Well, what does that mean to you? What does that mean to the church as a whole? That God is good. In our unfaithfulness, he's still good. In our sin, he is still good. In our unthankfulness, he is still good. When we hear that statement, there should be shouts of praise to say, look, God is good, not dependent on who I am or what I do. That he is good. James reminds us of that. In 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. We're also called to be thankful because this world can feel dark and difficult, and we need to be reminded of hope. This world drags us down. The difficulty of this world, the struggles, even the song mentioned, just the urgency and the pain that is going on and just the feeling that you get of these end times and this difficult time. But when we're actively thankful, we get to remind others of the hope we have. When we're actively thankful, voicing that thankful attitude, that we get to remind people of the hope in Jesus. It's not a false hope. It's not phony. It's not a fake smile. It's saying, yes, sometimes things are tough. Things are difficult, but I have this hope in Jesus. I have this hope in my Redeemer. So we're called to be thankful. And secondly, what does being thankful accomplish? It's a shifting of attitude to gratitude, and it reminds us of our blessings. It accomplishes the fact that we remember. This word remember in all its different variations in Scripture is mentioned over 550 times in Scripture, to remember. I don't think it's just because we have bad memories. I think it's a call, right? Throughout the Old Testament, remember the days of old. Remember what I did. Remember how I delivered you. Remember, remember, remember. And over again, God calls us to remember. Makes me think of this young man pictured in the screen. It's our youngest, Owen. He turned 11 2 weeks ago. And he turns 11. We have this party at our house. And I asked him at the end of the day, I said, Candace and I were there in the living room, and I said to him, I said, hey, buddy, what'd you think of your party? What'd you think about what happened? And there's a lot of responses he could have given, and me at 11 years old, I would have said, thankful for my Switch game, or that cake was amazing, or those games we played were awesome, you know, or things like that. But in that moment, he taught us a valuable lesson. You know what he said? Something very simple. He just said, I feel blessed. He's 11 years old. And in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, he's going to say this, this, and this. No, instead, he was focused in a way of literally taking his gratefulness for his birthday and turning it into thankfulness. See, being thankful in light of our blessings makes us more generous because we're not focused on what we don't have. Did you hear that? When we're thankful, and we're thankful to God for what he's provided, we're thankful to God even before he provides it, it changes our perspective and actually allows us to be more giving and generous to others, especially those in need. Because we get our attitude off of what we don't have, and instead we have a thankful attitude for what God has provided. Remembering our blessings points us to the giver of all things, so it points us to God. In Psalm 66:5 says, come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of man. So it not only points us to God, but remembering with thanksgiving also points us to the Savior. Ephesians 2:12, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. This was your state before you knew Jesus. For some of you may be visiting, maybe with family or friends for Thanksgiving, and maybe you're not here regularly. This might be the first time you're hearing this message. of hope and thanksgiving, let me inform you or remind you what the Savior did and what it is to be thankful for. That God, the source of our thanksgiving, sent his son Jesus, the object of our thanksgiving. He sent him as his only son to the earth. He lived a sinless life. He encountered all the temptation, all the struggle that we experience, and lived a sinless life and died on a cross and paid the price for the sin that we couldn't pay for. And as his hands stretched out on that cross, and he shed his blood on your behalf and mine for the body of Christ at large, he gives us opportunity to know him, and not only know him, but know the Father through the Son, Jesus, and through the power of the Spirit. That's something to be thankful for. That Christ would come to us, even though we definitely don't deserve it. So it points us to our Savior. And then from that, it draws us into a heart and attitude of worship. Hebrews 12:28 says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, what's the next four words? Let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. We are thankful that he doesn't consume us, because what we deserve is far worse than what we receive. We receive blessing when we deserve a curse. The curse was placed on his son. And so we get to have an attitude of worship and awe because we are in a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Kingdoms in this culture and in this world have come and gone. Even the mighty Roman government came and went. But for us, we are in a kingdom. If we're believers, we're in a kingdom that cannot be shaken, because its foundation is on Jesus. So being thankful also inspires an attitude of thankfulness in others. Kind of going back to Owen's party, I thought about this, and my wife and I were talking about it yesterday. She pointed out, hey, this experience he had was also inspiring thankfulness in others because of the way he received his friends. See, this was his first time to actually get to hand out his own invitations down at the Outback. For those who don't know Owen, he hasn't had the opportunity to do that much because he has autism and he has some struggles relationally, but this was his first time to be able to hand out his own invitations. And so he was thankful that people showed up. He was out in the front lawn welcoming his friends with a big fat hug. And for us, we just watched that and we're like, man, what a blessing, what an inspiration. And to his friends, I'm sure they were happy. They had a greeter at his birthday party and it was him. It inspires thanksgiving in others, but it also, you know what thankfulness does? It brings us together in community. That being thankful is something that we can be drawn to in community. It's interesting, just reading a book called Biblical Theology for a class I'm doing, and it was interesting, just this past week, literally, he focuses on this particular verse in Philippians 2:12. And it points out, Paul points out here that Christianity is not an individual endeavor. That those that are espousing right now this my truth nonsense, this I'm going to live out my truth, I'm going to do my thing, how can I be an I, and that's all focused on you? How am I being used in the church? How am I being this? There's a problem, right? And what Paul is trying to say here is this is a communal thing. This is community. We come together to worship together. We come together to serve together. We come together to inspire one another, to know Jesus and to love others. And this passage is kind of interesting. This author of this book points it out. He says, it's interesting. And he's not even a Texan, but it's interesting that this translation, the proper translation of this verse we're about to read, encounters a Texas favorite phrase, y'all. It literally, the translation was y'all. You can tell your friends, your foreign friends like me. Now, I can't make fun of you guys too much. Where I grew up, they say things like water instead of water and use guys, I guess, in place of y'all. But this is the literal translation. Listen to this. Philippians 2:12, Paul says, work out y'all's salvation with fear and trembling. For God is working in the midst of y'all to will and to do of his good pleasure. How many of you knew that? You knew that was in Scripture. That's the Greek translation. Now, I don't know if the translators had no word because, you know, Texas wasn't around yet. But here it is. And you know what that means? He's not saying this is your personal salvation. You hear that a lot, your personal savior, which carries with it an individualistic mindset. Paul never taught that. You look at his letters, he never taught anything individual or personal. He wrote to churches. He wrote to bodies of believers, and he was encouraging them as a whole. I'm encouraging you. He's encouraging you as TBC family to come together and be thankful, because it inspires one another and encourages one another in community, and it changes the meaning of this verse. Instead of being an individual project, it becomes a group project. And not one of those group projects, you UMHB students, you know, you're annoyed by the people that are in them because they don't do anything. No, the group projects, we're all involved, and we're all living in thanksgiving together, carrying out what God wants us to carry out. Lastly, being thankful also accomplishes the fact that we are sustained through trials. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Notice those two words, with thanksgiving. Does that come before or after the peace of God? It's not a trick question, it's up there. It comes before, right? With thanksgiving, the fact that you are actually thanking God as you pray to him, and you're thanking God for the results of what's going to happen. And some of you are like, well, I don't know the results yet. I don't know if I should be thankful. Well, what he's trying to say is you should be thankful in all circumstances, whether it's difficult, struggles, pain, whether it's not a good answer. We are called to be thankful in everything. Reminds me of my grandma. My grandma was a prayer warrior. She was outspoken, kind of a little crazy. And when she would hang out with us, she ended up living with us toward the end of her life. But even early before that, we were in an old school station wagon. It's snowing, it's icy out, and we had to go up this hill. And I remember just as a little kid, the car stalling out. And it's one of those old cars where you had to pump the gas to get it going, you know, and crank it. And it just kept stalling. And it wouldn't. And we had to get up this hill. It was ice and snow. And I'm thinking in my head, oh, we're going to be stuck here. It's cold. The heater hadn't even been warmed up yet. Yeah, they had to get warmed up. There's no heated seats, you know. You push that little button nowadays, right? So we're freezing. And my grandma's like, well, let's pray. And everyone looks at her like, okay, you know, it's just the car trying to start. What do you... And she prayed. She literally just prayed right there in the cold car. And you know what happened next? The car started. Now, I'm not saying you just slap a little prayer on something, everything's going to work out for you. But in that moment, she prayed. And you know what she prayed? Thank God that the car is going to start. She literally thanked God, and it started. And we're like, Graham, every time after that, please get Graham to pray for something, right? But for us, we can see that it creates this attitude and it sustains us through these trials and difficulty. Last question, how do we make giving thanks a regular habit? We can just get practical here. How can we make thanksgiving? And some of you have some great insights, things that you do, practices, but maybe here's some of them. Maybe a gratitude journal, a line a day journal where you just write one line and you put the date on it to look back on what God's done. Some have a big chart on the wall where they just write out Thanksgiving and what they're thankful for. For our family, it's old school, like elementary chain link. And we got the colored paper and a stapler at the table, and our kids write stuff. And some of the stuff, you know, I don't know, it's really odd, but hey, you're thankful for it, that's fine. And then we have this chain that's created at Thanksgiving. Maybe a time, you know, where it's a communal thing, where you have a small group, and literally the entire night in your small group, you just get together and be grateful and thankful. Maybe at the dinner table, those minimal times maybe when you get together as a family to eat, and you just go around the table and say, what are you thankful for? What's God done? We need to make a habit of giving thanks, maybe even just when our eyes open. First thing, before we grab our phone, open those eyes, thank you, God. And before we close our eyes, thank you, God. Maybe make that a habit. But let's be honest. So I got to be honest here, but since we're getting practical. Some of you are just straight up Eeyores, right? You're like, hey, I'm not an Eeyore. If you just said that, you're probably an Eeyore. Winnie the Pooh has a character, Eeyore, and it's kind of this woe is me, this the sky is falling mentality. And some of you that are Eeyores, you know, you tend to bond over negativity, and you bring other people down around you. Now, that's just not something funny. That's a problem. Because as believers, as a body of Christ, we're actually supposed to be expressing love. Now, again, it's not phony. We don't just stick our head in the sand when things go wrong. But we also shouldn't make it a habit when we get together to bond over the complaints we have. Complaining about our church, complaining about that speaker, whatever he said, complaining about worship, complaining about whatever it is in our small group, complaining about our mom or dad, whatever it is, this attitude of complaint is a cancer in the body of Christ. And the solution to that, the remedy to that, is actually asking God to create an attitude within you, even though maybe it's not natural for you, to create an attitude through the power of the Spirit of thanksgiving. What if this week you went to your friends and family in celebration and you went to Thanksgiving dinner and you started thanking God for things and were pointing out the things that God did all semester? And they're like, who are you and what did you do with so-and-so? And you just started this habit and you're actually able to share a testimony and said, yes, I understand we used to bond this way, but now we're going to bond this way. We're not bonding over negativity anymore. We're bonding over thanksgiving. Well, don't get me wrong. It's important to come together and discuss the difficulties of life. Again, we're not being phony. But some of us need the reminder that there's other things to talk about. And we can have thankful hearts. So we enlist accountability partners if we're prone to negativity. Have someone remind you. Have someone give you a little nudge when you're kind of veering off the path of Thanksgiving. But one of the best ways you can make Thanksgiving a regular habit is to get to know Jesus deeply. When you come to know your Savior, and when you pour yourself into a knowledge of who He is and what He's done and what He has for the church as a whole and what He has, the role you get to play within it, then you naturally become more thankful. Paul challenges believers to put off the old self, put on the new. One of his commands links directly to the heart of thanksgiving, Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. The peace of Christ makes you thankful. So as we conclude today, we're going to have an opportunity, an invitation to thanksgiving. We're going to do two songs. I know that's crazy, but we're finishing a minute early. We're going to do two songs. Don't go running out. But the opportunity is this. Maybe there's one song for you to confess. Maybe one song for you to see, hey, I've been convicted today. And maybe I need to call on Jesus and the power of the Spirit to convict me to say, I haven't been this. Please change me and change my heart. And then that second song After repentance and confession, what do you get to do? Praise God for what he's done and thank him. Maybe you're here and you don't know about this Jesus. And maybe these songs can be a time for you to take what we've said today from the Word of God to say, you know what? Today's the day where I can trust Christ as my Savior and my King. And not trust in myself anymore because it's really not getting me anywhere, but instead trust in the Savior who came to pay the price for your sin. This can be that time. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to stand, and we're going to celebrate. And we're going to finish this time together as we started it, giving thanks to our amazing God. Let's pray. God, we're so thankful for who you are, what you've done, what you're doing in our lives. Lord, convict us even during this time as we sing, maybe to get to know you for the first time, maybe to confess our sin of not being thankful, not appreciating who you are, and not growing in this area. God, inspire us, push us, challenge us to know you more so that we can be more thankful each and every day. In your name we pray. Amen.